Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Welcome to Nature Spirituality with Selena Fox. This is Selena Fox, and every week on Nature Spirituality, we focus on a topic and do a ritual, a workshop, or sometimes a combination. Tonight, we continue the series, Healing with the Sacred Elements, and tonight is Healing with Sacred Earth. I invite those of you who are watching on Facebook Live to share where you're watching from so we can make sure that our transmission is working well. And for those of you listening via the podcast, I invite you to also tune in to the place where you're located. Tonight, we're going to look at Sacred Earth in a variety of ways. We're going to look at rituals and meditations and tools and other ways of being able to work with Sacred Earth for healing, for renewal, and well-being. One of the first things you might consider doing is having some symbol of Sacred Earth on a personal altar, and I have a variety of different objects that I have here for use during this podcast and Facebook live stream. And as we are preparing to move into the next part, I invite you, if you have an object that you associate with Earth, it might be a plant that's growing in your house. It might be a rock or a crystal. It might be a pentacle, some other object. I invite you to have that with you. And if you don't have an actual object with you, I invite you to call to mind a symbol of Sacred Earth for you as I begin our time together. I'm going to work with a dish of soil. Powers of the Sacred Earth, we call to you, we honor you, we invite you to come and be with us now and in the times to come. Guide us in our work with the element earth, with the sacred earth that is part of the physical realm in our lives. Come, teach us, guide us, be with us, aid us in our work with sacred earth for healing, for protection, for comfort and relaxation, for resilience, for renewal, for well-being. So mote it be. Working with soil is primal. Many people enjoy gardening because it allows them not only to connect with the wonder and beauty of growing things. I have a mint plant with me tonight that's a symbol of earth, and it's in a small container with soil in it. And eventually this is going to go out in my garden. And it's really powerful to be able to connect with soil, to dig in the soil as part of gardening, to walk barefoot on soil, or on a grassy ground. It's an ancient and a time-tested way of helping people center and balance. Indeed, one thing that you can do with a dish or a platter or some other container of soil is to just press your hands in the soil, and as you do, experience yourself having that primal connection with the elemental known as earth. Connecting with the earth as something that is so basic to life. Connecting with the earth for relaxation. Connecting with the earth for release. Connecting with the earth as fertile earth for growing things, for planting and tending plants and harvesting, the whole cycle of plants working as part of your connection with sacred earth. But there are other forms of sacred earth that you might find helpful in healing work as well. Some people take up ceramics, pottery, and take a form of earth known as clay and work with that clay to create different shapes. Some dishes, here's a dish that I have that I got when I was in France a number of years ago. You can make some really wonderful things to use in daily life and ceremonial life. Some people like working with clay to de-stress and may have modeling clay or some kind of children's play clay like a Play-Doh, and being able to just move that in one's hands can be very relaxing, can be a way of releasing tension, not only specifically in your hands, but in your life. Something else that I use as a symbol of earth, and I collect it from time to time when I go out to the ocean. My family has a home on the Atlantic Ocean, and so for many years I've been able to vacation there for part of the summer. I have some sand here, and if you can imagine yourself walking on sand, or a really healing thing to do is to actually get a dish of sand like I have here, and just let the sands flow through your fingers as you experience the texture of the sand, play with the sand. I see people of all ages at the seashore playing with sand. That itself, it can be very therapeutic. A technique that I enjoy doing is to have a dish of sand, and then as I take some sand in my hand and let it fall down, I imagine the sand being like sands of time. And as the sand moves through one's fingers back into the bowl, letting what you need to let go of, to dispel from your mind, happen as you do this kind of releasing meditation. One of the things I like to do when I'm at a shore with a sandy beach is to walk the line between the shore and the water and to experience the interplay of water and sand, and to look at objects that appear on the sand, bits of shell, sometimes coins and other objects, and to experience these as symbols of earth that have come ashore by virtue of spirits of water. Another symbol of earth that can be used in a variety of ways for healing is that of salt. Indeed, some people will have a platter of salt. They might have a five-pointed star engraved on it, a pentacle, or it might be a dish with an indentation such as I have here where the salt can go. And to use the salt as a purifying agent. Some traditions have a bit of salt added to water to join sacred earth and sacred water together, and then that salt water is used to cleanse and bless a ritual space, to bless a home. But salt itself can be used as a home blessing tool on its own, and an old tradition is to take a bit of salt and to put it in the corners of a room as a way of purifying, blessing, and protecting the room and the home. Salt has been considered very important for people across cultures and through time. In ancient Rome, soldiers were paid in part with salt, and that was their salary. And indeed, salt was considered very important and precious. And today, salt is important as well. It can really enhance flavor in food, and too much salt for some people might be a challenge, but salt itself is a magical item and a way of connecting with earth. Besides home blessing, you can do something similar that I did with sand and with soil, which is to experience yourself connecting with the salt. And you might even have a salt bowl where you press your hands into the bowl and imagine that your cares, your concerns are just being dissipated as you do that. And then if you do choose to do that, you may have your grounding salt bowl. I would not use it for seasoning food, but you can use the same salt over and over for that purpose. So that can be a tool you can have on your altar. In addition to working with these types of sacred earth, you may find it really helpful to be able to work with rocks, another form of sacred earth. And indeed, I got a rock right prior to doing this podcast workshop, and this has come from the forest. I don't assume just because I see a rock and it looks interesting that I should just pick it up and take it back with me. I actually spend a few moments, consider the rock, and while many people would consider a rock inanimate, many of us who work spiritually with rocks of different types and stones and pebbles and semi-precious stones and gemstones actually see that there is a spiritual essence that we can relate to with them. And as I spied this rock, I spent a few moments, I connected with it, and I had a sense that it could indeed come home with me. And when I do that, I see it as a gift from the land, and I give thanks for my connection with that greater circle of nature of which we are a part. Some rocks I work with that have a interesting form with different configurations. Some rocks have actually been polished. I have an example here that's actually a fossil, and it's been polished, and I think about the creature that literally has turned to stone and now has been polished, and this rock is a beautiful ritual item, a symbol of earth that one can use for centering and grounding, for having a sense of strength and endurance. For indeed, this creature that's turned into stone is thousands of years old. I really enjoy working with different kinds of rocks and different shapes and sizes. And here's a very small, perfectly round, circular rock that I have worked with. I found a piece of chert the other day, and chert was used by ancient native peoples in the Americas for making points and other stone tools. Some stone around where I lived is a kind of sandstone, and sandstone can be quite colorful, and they can vary in their durability. But one of my favorite ways of representing earth on an altar is to actually have a piece of local stone that represents not only earth, but my connection with the area. And having different types of rocks can be really helpful. And besides looking at differences in how they appear, their composition is different. And in meditation, you can experience yourself exploring that, not only as you look at it and feel it, but as you sense it as a different type of rock. Some stones are called gemstones or semi-precious stones. I have some rose quartz that I'm working with tonight. And these are bits of rose quartz that have been tumbled, and they are wonderful in their own kind of beauty. You might create an arrangement with the stones. I have them in a little dish here. But some people find it really helpful to get to know different types of gemstones by doing a meditation with them, by researching them online and then talking with people who work with gemstones, and exploring through your own connection. With rose quartz, it's been my experience, and it's also part of the lore connected with rose quartz, that it's a stone connected with the heart, with love, with relationship. And one way of working with a stone is to hold it in your hands, close your eyes, and sense it, and to see what types of sensations come to your mind, what rises up in your imagination, what comes to mind from the studies that you have done exploring stones. Some people have found it helpful to work with more than one stone at a time. Indeed, there are different traditions and patterns in which people take sometimes the same kind of stone, multiple pieces of it, or sometimes taking a lot of different stones and creating some type of arrangement. In a way, if you create a circle, I'm creating a circle here, of the rose quartz, the act of creating that circle itself can be therapeutic. It allows that what some people call the younger self, the playful self, the creative self, to be engaged. If you are living in a place where you need to be inside a lot, you can create your own kind of circle of stone, your own kind of stone mandala, by having some tumbled stones and crystal points and other types. I'm creating a circle right here, and the act of creating the circle and then meditating on the circle that's been created can be a way of centering oneself. The act of working with a stone and stones in multiple forms can be very soothing and relaxing. Some people like the tumbled stones because you can actually rub them, and that can give a really releasing, relaxing, discharging, dispelling sensation that can be really helpful in dispelling stress. Some traditions encourage people to find a stone in which they dedicate it to the purpose of dispelling stress, and then to have another stone that one would use to represent strength, stamina, resilience. The stone I found today and have with me tonight has some iron embedded in it. And it is a rugged stone. It's a hefty stone. And by holding it, one can connect with that strength, that energy, and let that flow into oneself. In addition to working with different types of sacred earth, one can work with sacred earth in a variety of different ecosystems and places. I invite you to do a short meditation with me, and we're going to use for this meditation a couple forms of sacred earth in the form of sacred place. We're going to work with the image of sacred mountain and the image of sacred cave. So if you are able to do so, I invite you to find a comfortable place to sit or lay down where you can hear my voice and where you are comfortable and can let your body relax and be at rest and let your mind take the journey. And take some deep, slow breaths. And as you release, let more relaxation flow into you. And then when you are ready, imagine in your mind's eye that you are walking up a path on a sacred mountain. And that path fits with your own agility and ability. Experience yourself moving up the mountain. And in the distance, you see the top of the mountain. And know that is a destination. As you make your way up the path and climb higher and higher to the summit of the mountain, you pause from time to time and look at the mountain around you, the shape of rocks, the type of rocks, and if there's vegetation, what form that takes. If there are creatures, what creatures appear to you? Experience yourself moving safely yet surely up to the summit of this sacred mountain. And as you reach the top, you discover that there is a megalithic circle of stones, large stones upright in a circle. And this stone circle is something that is very ancient. And you see in the center of the circle a stone that serves as an altar. You go to that stone and imagine yourself placing your hands on that stone altar. You invite the power of the stones in the stone circle and the power of this sacred mountain place to flow up from the earth, the stones, into your whole being, and imagining it, this energy and power flowing outside of your head, spiraling around you, and you continue to cycle and connect with the power of the mountain, the power of standing stones, the power of the circle, the power of sacred earth as sacred place. In the next few moments of quiet, let the mountain and the aged stones speak to you. Speak to you a message. About ways to work with sacred earth for resilience, for healing. And let the healing power of that sacred place resonate in you. And as I play the singing bowl, be one with the sacred mountain, the sacred stones, the sacred site. Giving thanks to the sacred earth, to the sacred stones, the sacred mountain. And know that you can return to this mountain through inner journeys. You can envision the mountain as a symbol of strength, of stamina, of resilience. And as you prepare to leave the stone circle, you give thanks to that site and the spirit of the mountain lets you know that there is yet another ceremonial place that you can work with. to connect with the powers of sacred earth. So as you begin your journey down the path, you have a sense of the depth of sacred earth calling you. And as you move down the mountain, you notice a branch to the path that you're on, and you have a sense that that path will lead you to a special cavern, a cave. And if it feels right to do so, you begin your journey down that part of the path. And as you move along the path, you recognize that sacred earth can be experienced as you have in an external form where you are atop the rocks, atop the mountain. But you recognize that sacred earth is diverse and that there's also power in going deep into the earth. So as you continue along your path, you are guided by the spirit of the mountain and now the spirit of the cave is also there to call you forth. You come to the entrance of this cave, and you glow with a light of spiritual wisdom. You pay your respects to this sacred site, and as you get a sense it's okay to do so, you go through the opening of the cave and you notice that this is a ceremonial place that's been used by others, for indeed there is a pathway that goes deep into the earth. And as you follow that pathway, you look at the shape of the earth in its interior. Stalactites, stalagmites, beautiful rock formations. And the glow around you illuminates the beauty of this interior space. And you continue your journey until you come to a ceremonial chamber. You pause for a few moments, and then as you step through the threshold, you notice that there is an illumination there, a spiritual radiance. And at one end of the chamber, there is a stone throne. The spirit of the cave is with you now, the cave that's part of Spirit of Mountain. And the cave invites you to have a seat on that throne of stone. And as you do, you connect with the ancient wisdom of ancestors far back in time that worked with sacred earth in interior spaces for rituals of connecting with the divine, for rituals of healing, for rituals of inspiration and transformation. As you continue to sit on the throne of stone. Spend a few moments feeling empowered. The power of your resonance with sacred earth awakens in you an understanding of the multi-layered ways of being. The whole planet, planet Earth, and as you continue to be part of the throne, sitting there communing with the chamber and the stone, spend a few moments and invite the ancient ones to bring forth a message. The ancient ones of this ceremonial place, the ancient ones that our ancestors far back in time and as I play the singing bowl, become one with the ancestors and their wisdom and their knowledge of how to work with sacred earth. Pay attention to what you experience and this part of your journey. As you take some deep, slow breaths, you reflect on your experiences and you give thanks to the ancient ones, to the ancestors, to sacred earth as cave spirit, to sacred earth as mountain, knowing that when you are in need, you can journey to this sacred place. To connect with the power within, to connect with wisdom, to connect with self as part of a stream of life across time. And as you feel complete with this part of the meditation, you get a sense from the mountain and the cave and that stone throne that you need to extend your hands, and you have them palm up, and what appears in your hands is a beautiful stone. Pay attention to what shape it takes, its texture, its material, and you have a sense that this stone is a healing stone. As you hold the stone, you let what healing needs to happen within yourself start unfolding. You hold the stone to your heart for a few moments Let healing flow there. The area near your navel, the solar plexus, you let healing flow there. And if it feels right to do so, you imagine that stone, the center of your forehead, the area known as the third eye, letting healing be there. And then as you hold the stone before you, you get a sense if there's any other chakras or energy points that you can bring healing and balance to with this part of the meditation. And if so, then move the stone and work with it in a healing way there. And when you feel complete, give thanks for this healing stone. And then imagine it going deep within your being, merging with you. You carry it out of this sacred cave with you in your memory and in your resonance with it. And you say farewell to the stone throne and to the ceremonial chamber. As you move from that space, start moving out to the entrance of the cave. And again, you give thanks to the cave, to the mountain, to your experiences there, the divine and sacred earth, for being part of this journey. You continue back along the path and rejoin the path that you took at the start of this journey. And when you reach your beginning point, you shift from this inner journey space back to the here and now, carrying with you your memories of encounter with Spirit of Mountain, Spirit of Stone Ring and Stone Altar, Spirit of Cave, Spirit of Ceremonial Chamber, Spirit of Stone Throne, Spirit of the gift of Earth that you received. Spending a few moments giving thanks and reflecting, and if you wish, making some notes as you return to a more waking state of consciousness, as I again play the singing bowl. So there are many different forms of special places that are connected with sacred earth. A hillside, a beautiful meadow, a desert, tundra, a variety of different kinds of ecosystems. And I invite you to reflect on some place that you associate with the element earth that's been special to you in your life. A place you have visited, or perhaps a place that you've learned about through studies. give thanks to those special places of sacred earth. And now in the last part of our journey with sacred earth, I'd like to share with you another form of sacred earth, which is that of the green world. Indeed, being able to work with plants. If you're in a place where you can have a garden and work with plants that way, great. If your home is such that you don't have a garden space or gardening's not your thing, you can still have plants that are houseplants or herbs grown as houseplants, and you can work with fresh and dried herbs that you've gathered or that you've gotten from a place that grows them and or harvests them. One of the wonderful things about working with herbs as a symbol of earth, versatile, most herbs will have some type of health-giving dimension. Some are very fragrant. Many have just wonderful fragrance and can be used in foods, in salads, as seasonings. I like making tea out of different types of herbs that are in my garden. And I also like to do wildcrafting and being out in wild areas where wildcrafting is permitted and going out and communing with different types of plants growing wild. I have with me parsley, sage, and rosemary and thyme from my garden and some other herbs. Catmint, which is a small form of catnip, is known to be appreciated by all sorts of cats. It can also bring delight to humans, although its impact on humans is a bit different than with cats. For humans, being able to rub the leaves, breathing them in, can be very relaxing. In fact, some people use an old folk remedy of making a tea, bringing water up to a boil, turning off the heat, and then taking the leaves and the stems and flowers of a catnip or catnip plant, smooshing them up, adding them to the water, stirring them around, putting the intention of relaxation and calming as part of it, covering it up, letting it steep for a time, and then drinking some catnip or catnip tea. Some people have found that really helpful in going to sleep and unwinding after an intense day. As with all things herbal, it's important to correctly identify the plant if you're gathering it yourself, do some research on it to understand its properties, and also be in touch with healthcare providers, especially if you're doing any type of chemical medication, because although it's in a green form, most herbs have some kind of medicinal dimension to them, and you certainly don't want to have problematic interaction effects. There are some herbalists and some websites that really take a look at herbal information and compatibility with vitamin supplements and other kinds of things. And in terms of having herbs be part of your daily life, part of going for an annual checkup with your healthcare provider, it's a really good idea not just to list any supplements that you take, but also make those that help you with healthcare aware of what herbs that you consume. One of the things about rosemary, it's called rosemary for remembrance, and has been used in a lot of passage rites. It can really help stimulate the mind. And in a dry form, some people will burn rosemary as a way of purifying a space, as a kind of incense. And whether you use some type of sage that's native to North America or what I call European sage, a different plant, but also connected with purification, you can take the dried leaves of the sage that you use as a seasoning and also use that for cleansing self and cleansing home. One of the things that I like to do during the growing season is to harvest some fresh herbs. I have some chives from the garden. And to be able to actually get those greens right in through a salad or mixing with soups or dishes that you might make. And, of course, working with blooms. And I have some lilacs that are in bloom right now. And it's fabulous to be able to work with plants of many types. I do think it's a good idea if you're serious about deepening your understanding of the plant realm is to keep some notes about what you're working with and to develop some connections with other people that also are interested in the green world. And certainly in social media, that can be a good place for connecting with people. I do think it's important when you're looking for information, botanical and medicinal and culinary and the different ways of working with herbs, that you make sure that you check several different sources and look at the background of the source. Who are the people that are putting forth the information? What's their track record and that type of thing? Certainly people that work with herbs as a form of sacred herb and sacred earth may have different experiences and might have different properties that they associate with different types of plants. So that you might find a range of information as you research online and in talking with others. But I do think it's important to note it and recognize that some plants you might feel a greater affinity with more than others. So another really powerful way of working with sacred earth is connecting with herbology and deepening relationship with a few plants to start out with, getting to really know them and work with them, know them in living form if possible, as well as dried form, and being able to note down what your experiences are. I think herbs, being able to harvest and grow, connect with plants, also summons some of our primal ways of being. Some other examples of sacred earth. Acorns. I live in an oak forest, and acorns themselves have been associated with strength, potential, good fortune. There is a double acorn, two joined together. Some people like to carry an acorn in their pocket for good luck. Some like to create a little dish of acorns and place it on one's altar as another way of connecting with sacred earth and to connect with good fortune. A sand dollar is a pinnacle from the seashore. And I gathered this during one of my trips to the ocean many years ago. And It's wonderful to have a natural object, and you'll notice it has a five-pointed star as part of it. I also have worked with a variety of stone in different forms. This is actually a form of sandstone in a coaster that can serve as a symbol of Earth itself. I wouldn't be complete about talking about sacred Earth without mentioning baskets woven from plants. And in fact, you can make a little Earth altar with a basket. And taking some examples of Earth, maybe a bit of salt, acorn, bit of soil, piece of rose quartz, and you may take some leaves and create a little earth altar. You carry with you to connect with sacred earth in multiple ways. These are just a few of the ways that I work with sacred earth for healing, for creative inspiration and renewal, for perking myself up, and for general well-being. I want to thank everyone who has been listening live via CSNP, Circle Sanctuary's Internet Radio Network, Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast. I also want to give thanks to everyone who has joined through Facebook live streaming. And thank you all for participating in our ongoing explorations of different ways of delivering information and spiritual meditations and ritual experiences through cyberspace. I want to give thanks to our CSNP team, David and Jeanette Ewing, who do engineering and management for our network, to Laura Gonzalez, and to Deborah Rose and Casey Pope, who helps us with social media. I invite you to learn more about the different shows that we have at the CSNP webpage at circlesanctuary.org and at our Facebook page, CSN Podcast, so you can get latest and updated information there. And to stay connected with me, I invite you to follow me on YouTube, Selena Fox, on Instagram, Selena Fox, on Twitter, Selena_Fox, and on Facebook, Selena Fox Updates. And if you need to be in touch by email, you can email me, Selena@CircleSanctuary.org. Thanks to all of you for joining in for our Sacred Earth explorations tonight. And I invite you to join me for Nature Spirituality next time when we will explore healing with sacred fire. On Sundays, I do the Nature Mystic Show, and of the various podcasts I've done over time, we have replays, encore presentations of some of my best podcasts, so that's another way to connect with workshops and rituals that I do. And I invite you also to consider your support for Circle Sanctuary, and you can find out more about us on the web, circlesanctuary.org. We have membership for those who might want to join us, and we have Circle Sanctuary on Twitter and Instagram and YouTube as well. Indeed, we are finding new and cyber ways of converging community with full moon celebrations every month that I do via Zoom, and we're exploring some additional ways to get that out to even more people. And We celebrate the seasons with festivals online as well. So until we connect again, I wish you many blessings. Blessed be.
and thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.